Watching TV has changed over time. Streaming has become the new norm. That's why Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast dives headfirst to the world of cord cutting. Want to be on the loop of what's hot in Netflix? Or if it's not a preference, what about original shows in Hulu? We've got you covered. Join us as we fill in the blanks and talk about movies to stream and what show you should be binging. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast.
Greetings, people of Earth and the known universe. You're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. And I should have said greetings, the good people of the planet Earth and the known universe. And today's television podcast episode, we're going to talk about Hulu Network's new series. Not so new, but still kind of new. Harlots. They're in season two now. And the UMC channel, that new streaming network, they have a new series too called Bronx SIU, which stands for Special Investigative Unit. So I'm looking forward to talking about both of those shows with you today. And we're going to go into Harlots. And it's just how it sounds. A very intriguing show. I'm looking forward to finishing it. I just started the first season. Like I said before, they're already in the second season right now. But I'm definitely intrigued. So let me read to you what Harlots is about. So Margaret Wells, and she's the main character, her brothel is in downtown Trotton, is in a downtown Trotton area of the capital. But she's making her move upwards, aiming to move her family and her girls and take a new house in the vibrant new area of Soho in England. That's one description of it. Another description is, in this drama set in the 18th century London, Samantha Morton stars as Margaret Wells, a brothel owner and mother to two daughters, Charlotte and Lucy. When Margaret's business is attacked, a war breaks out over the city's most profitable and commercial activity, sex. Margaret is determined to fight back and protect her business, even if it puts everything else at risk, including her family. So the first episode aired actually last March. But yeah, they're on season two right now. And like I said, it's a Hulu original show. So, and it's very, very fascinating. Let me get you into the cast of Harlots. So yeah, so Margaret Wells, like I said, that's played by Samantha Morton. She's the madam. And she's got two daughters. And she owns this home. You know, it's this big, it's a house of ill repute, you know. And how do I word this? Let's see. Yeah, so yeah, it's definitely a brothel. And what happens is that with her two daughters, so she's got two daughters, like we already said. So, and let me give you the names again. It's Lucy and I believe it's Charlotte. One second. Yes. So the older daughter is actually a madam in the field right now. And her younger daughter, she's been grooming. I mean, yeah, it's just, even when I say that, that's just so disturbing. But that's what's going on. So her older daughter is Charlotte, played by Jessica Brown Findlay. Her younger daughter is Lucy, played by Eloise Smith. So basically, like I said, Charlotte is out in the field and she's tied to this nobleman. His name is Sir George Howard, played by Hugh Skinner. And he wants Charlotte to marry him and she doesn't want to do it because she doesn't want to be owned. So, and of course, when Charlotte's mother finds out, you know, Margaret, she's like, what's wrong with you? You know, how stupid can you be? This is a great way for us to up our status in the society and get more prominence. And Charlotte's just not really feeling it. And Sir George Howard, he's a he's very needy. And he has a manservant or a butler who has to put up with him. And he always looks not amused that he's got to babysit, you know, Sir George. So, I mean, that's going on. So basically you find out that there's, so now when you first watch this show, when it first comes on, you know, they tell you it's the 18th century. And there's like this statement that says like, one out of every five women are prostitutes in this time, in England, in this city. And it just, you just get the impression that it's because, you know, there weren't a lot of economic opportunities for women in the 18th century. And they were just, you know, so when you watch this series, it's just bizarre, surreal, and intriguing all at the same time because, you know, there's this double standard, there's this hypocrisy and paradox on sex and sex workers. You know, of course, you got some people who are just against, you know, prostitution. You probably are always going to have those people, but then you got those people who are all about it. So, you know, there's a lot of sexism going on with women, but there's also corruption going on in the story that you see. And then, like, so when the show opens up and you see there's only one man who, like, lives in this brothel, you know, this whorehouse. It's this black man. And I was very, I'm like, okay, so who was he in this English story? And it was very fascinating to see who his character is and what role he plays. So I'm going to tell you his name in one second. I'm trying to find him in the cast. Because when I do this, I like to always look at the cast so I can tell you who they are. I will say this, though. So in this 18th century, you know, what's going on is that racism is definitely an issue in the story. But it's not where I'm at in the story. It's not that prevalent yet. Where what you're seeing in this TV series is women dealing with sexism and not being treated properly, and you can see the struggle that Margaret Wells, the main character, the madam of the whorehouse, the brothel, that she goes through, because at the end of the day, she, you know, she wants to keep her girls busy and working, but she wants to look out for them and she wants to solidify herself in this community. And you find out things about her background that are just kind of disturbing. And, you know, these are all the things that are the makings of what happens to people. You know, and that's what you see. And I'm trying to find the name. Is it right? There he is. Okay, the actor's name is Danny Sapani. Oh, he's English. Okay, Scorpio. All right, right on. Okay, let's see. And let me give you his name on the show. His name on the show is William North. And when I first saw him open up the door, you know, to let people into the brothel, I'm thinking, oh, he must be like the butler or the, you know, the servant. You find out that, you know, William North is actually Margaret's, well, I'm assuming he's her husband. Maybe he's not her husband, but he's the father of her third child. She's got two girls and one little boy. So I thought it was interesting when I saw this young black boy playing around in the brothel. Yeah, that's their son. So I'm not sure if he can talk because I haven't heard him talk, but I've seen him play and hang out with one of his sisters. So it's interesting because at this point, what you're seeing in this story is, you know, this woman who has this house of ill repute. So she's considered socially like the bottom of the barrel, you know, whatever that means. And this black man who she's, you know, living with, who she has a child with. So in the 18th century in England, now there was a reference in this show, that wasn't lost on me when it was stated that one of the colleagues that Margaret has stated that they were living in America and happy. And William was like, well, yeah, you know, they still have slavery there. So, you know, basically he was like, yeah, I'm good. So even though England at this time in the 18th century is problematic, you know, they still seem to be a lot more tolerant or open to black people, more so than America at that time, according to the story. And that might actually be how it was in history, too. I don't know right off the top of my head, but I thought that was very interesting that they set the premise of the story of basically these two outcasts are in love and they have a family and they're in a business that is morally wrong but economically feasible, and it's like a survival mode at the same time. And like I said, when the show first comes on, they're like, yeah, you know, 1 in 5 women are prostitutes in this time. And it's like, okay, you get the feeling that they're not doing it because they just want to do it. They're doing it out of survival, which is problematic and intriguing in itself. And hence you have the story, Harlots. This is why it's already on the second season. So Lucy, you know, she's the blonde-haired young girl. Her sister, older sister Charlotte, like I said, she's already a working prostitute who's, you know, basically with Sir George Howard. But you know, she tells him what he wants to hear, and he's very needy, and he's got some money, kind of reckless and just kind of just very immature. So he definitely is into Charlotte more so than she's into him. Charlotte seems to know who she is and knows how to deal. But I think because of her job and pleasing men, that she feels doesn't really think love is something that she can attain. And it seems like she's kind of shut herself down and numbed herself, but not that you would notice, but you know, not to her clients, because she's a professional. She knows what to do, but she's got Sir George Howard thinking that he's her only one. And he finds out later from his foot servant, that that's not the case, that she goes about town doing her job. But when she's with them, she gives them all of her attention. So now Margaret is looking at Lucy, you know, a girl who she's got, you know, let go to school, who she's reared, who she's taking a different stance on her younger child. And it's always fascinating too with kids, like the dynamics the parents have with the oldest child versus the youngest child, and how a lot of times the treatment of that child changes. It's just very fascinating. So your older daughter, you know, you kind of rushed into prostitution, and your younger daughter, you're trying to ease her into it. And what she wants to do is she wants to have a sealed bid, because you know, the men of town who have money and stature can privately bid on taking Lucy's virginity. I kid you not. I'm just like, my mouth dropped to the floor when I'm watching this. So, I mean, apparently this was a thing back in the 18th century. So, because one of Margaret's customers, or John's, is in the house, and he's like in the waiting room, apparently waiting for a prostitute to come, one of Margaret's girls, and he sees, you know, Lucy playing the piano, and she looks very lovely, and she's very pretty, and she's just doing her thing. Now, earlier in the episode, Lucy was reading off a newspaper article that talked about the brothel that she lives in and the prostitutes there. And some of the prostitutes got glowing reviews, like it was like a prostitute, a critic, like a movie critic, I guess. And, But Lucy could be kind of a smart mouth. So one girl wanted her to read what it said. Lucy said some really mean things to her. And there was no proof that what she said was actually written down. And then her mom came in and had to stop all of it. And she's like, don't rile up my girls. So when this one John is sitting in the waiting room watching Lucy play the piano, and he's just enchanted, and he starts offering Margaret money for her. And she's like, oh, no, she's a virgin, and, you know, we're waiting, and we're going to do sealed bids for her. You know, she's special. She's been educated. She knows how to play, and she knows how to play the piano. She's, you know, I'm very proud of my girl. And the guy just starts, he's like 30 pounds, 40 pounds, 50 pounds. And, you know, and then Margaret looks at him and she looks at Lucy and she's like, Lucy. And she's like, yes. And just when you think she's going to like say, go ahead to Soul, she's like, you know, what's taking so-and-so so long? So basically Margaret blows off the John, you know, this the, who's trying to, you know, take Lucy's virginity prematurely. We'll talk some more about harlots after this break.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
And once again, you're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. This is your Captain Keith talking about the new hit series on Hulu streaming network called Harlots. And I'm talking about the first season of it right now. So as I was saying before, you know, Margaret Wells is, you know, she's cautiously waiting to, you know, introduce her daughter into prostitution, her younger daughter, Lucy Wells. Oh, man, this is crazy. And, so what happens is that they have this party or this social gathering where these gentlemen can have their private bids, the sealed bids on who can take, you know, Lucy home and, you know, take her virginity, make her their first customer. So now before we get into that, what also is happening, like on the other side of town, there's this woman named Madam Quigley, and she has her own brothel, and her brothel seems to apparently be, her name is Lydia Quigley, played by Leslie Manville, and basically her brothel is it's the high society brothel, it's the brothel of the elite, of the aristocrats, so if you have money and stature, you go there, you know, for a proper, you know, escort or prostitute. So, and her son is her right-hand person. So, you know, Lydia Quigley, Miss Quigley, she runs the, you know, this brothel, this, you know, this high society, first class, you know, elitist brothel. And her son is, yeah, he's her henchman. He manages the girls for her when she tells him to. But he also does a little bit more than that, if you know what I mean. He ain't right. He's not right. Yeah. So you find out that Miss Quigley does not like Margaret Wells. And basically, she doesn't like the competition. That's what it is. I mean, there's two brothels in this town. So, and if Miss Quigley can get rid of Margaret's brothel, then it's, you know, it's a win-win. So what you're finding out is basically that Miss Quigley is the bad guy. And Margaret doesn't really see her coming, at least not at first. So what happens is that there's definitely a backstory there. Miss Quigley is a very interesting character. She's definitely in control. And she's definitely well connected because, like I said, so her, you know, her brothel has women who speak several different languages. They play instruments, and so she's like, you know, my ladies are special. They're rare, and you can't just be anybody to be with them. So she's creating a, you know, she's creating a demand, and it makes sense. I mean, so but apparently, if you want to get down and dirty, then you go to Margaret's Wells's brothel. That's the difference. So I guess there's always going to be a need for both in that regard. So you find out a little bit more about Margaret when she's talking to Lucy about what's going to happen. And Lucy's nervous. Lucy doesn't want to be a virgin anymore. She wants to please her mom, and she's nervous. And this is normal for her. This is her life. She doesn't really know of anything else. So she hangs out, and she jokes with the other girls. They're all friends. She doesn't look down at anybody. And she only sees Charlotte sometimes, because Charlotte's out busy working and pleasing Sir George Howard. You know, so she's pleasing him. So, but, you know, Charlotte is a big sister, and she's, you know, she's gone through some things. So she definitely has some advice and knowledge for Lucy to listen to. So, but you find out things about the story that are just kind of disturbing, but make sense, and why things are playing out the way they do. For example, you find out that, you know, Margaret Wells's, her childhood was just not great. That's all I'm going to say. It wasn't great, and that because it wasn't great, you know, it's led her to make certain decisions that are affecting everyone. But it's just really interesting to see, you know, this type of story, because and to see how women are portrayed and how these men of power basically do what they want, and they're, you know, it's. And the connections they have to other people. And like I said, Miss Quigley has made herself very valuable so far within that community because of the service that she offers, and how she's very charismatic when she meets men of power, and she's very calculating. And she loves her son, but doesn't seem to respect her son that much, but has him do her bidding. But it's just really interesting, because I'm like, okay, well, you have your son working in your brothel. So where's his father? And what's that story? And the son is kind of whimsical. He can be very funny. He's not really mean or hard-edged, but he's very upfront and open about things. And because he's her son, you know, he has a certain amount of power. I'll just say that. Actually, I want to give you his name. Let's see if I can find it. Tell you what his name is. Okay, so his name on the show is Charles Quigley. His name in real life is Dougie McMeekin. So, yeah, he's interesting. And it's funny watching all these guys with these white wigs on, you know, these George Washington-style wigs. So I never understood why the whole purpose of wearing a wig and not showing your real hair. I don't, you know, back in the day. It's very interesting. So, as I said before, Miss Quigley does not care for Margaret Wells, and she's out to, you know, try to get rid of her business if she can. And Margaret's not aware of it. Margaret's still so focused on, you know, making sure that Lucy has a proper beginning into the business. She wants to do for her what she didn't do for Charlotte. And Charlotte says something to Margaret about that, like, you know, you had me doing this at the age of, you know, at a younger age than Lucy. And, you know, Margaret always tells the story about, you know, what happened to her when she was younger, and their kids know it verbatim, because they, you know, they heard it a lot. And the time comes for the sealed bidding, and then that just kind of gets very interesting and very exciting. And by the time that happens, you know, Margaret has gone through some adversity, and she can't figure out why she went through the adversity and who's trying to get her. So, but when she finds out, you know, she tries to figure out how she can take action. And of course, you know, Miss Quigley looks at Margaret like, you know, you're beneath me and I'm superior to you. So, and it's just very weird and strange that two women who run brothels, and one thinks she's better than the other, and it's the same business. The only difference is this one just seems to make theirs more, it's just aristocratic. It's just so-called high class, you know, for the gentlemen and the noblemen, you know, who have specific needs. So what I look forward to seeing when I finish watching this show, finish the first season, get into the second season, is what created the climate that, you know, one out of five women in the 18th century, according to this story, are prostitutes. You know, why was it that they weren't able to do other jobs, and why is it that men have all of the power? You know, that's, I guess I still ask myself that question. But yeah, it's just interesting to see how societies, how they play out, you know, what they do, what's important, what's not important, who's respected from who's not respected. So, and then I asked myself if William North, Margaret's, you know, the father of her only son. And there's a one scene where she looks at him and she says, you know, every time I'm pregnant, I'm always hoping for a boy. As if she's saying that if it's a girl, I'm going to have to make her into a prostitute. So I'd love to see more and know more about where that's coming from in her mind and why she said that. But I wonder that, you know, Danny Cipriani playing William North, his character, would he be accepted in that society if he had a child by a white woman and they weren't living in a brothel? So I think the fact that they're living in a brothel kind of pads him and protects him, because they're like, oh, well, they're all just low class, so it doesn't matter. So they can do that. So it's just all really intriguing how all this is playing out. And, you know, Lord Fallon is Sir George Howard's friend. He's an aristocrat. He partakes in brothels as well. And like I said, it gets to a point where, you know, it's all about Margaret's survival. What would she do to get ahead? And, you know, and what can she do to position her daughters in positions of power so she can be recognized and so she can have access to more people and make more money? Margaret's goal is to take that brothel and move them to a different house on another side of Soho, a more respectable side, a more better living conditions. So it's all about money, and Margaret looks at money as an equalizer for women, or money is the only thing that women can use to have power in this society. Excuse me. And when you watch this show and this story, yeah, you agree with her because of the times that she's in. You're like, well, she's right to think that way, because if she's got money, then she has power, and then people are forced to respect her because she has she's in a position to do things that people who don't have money can't do. So I get why she wants it. But my thing is, be careful of your ambition. Don't lose sight of love. And so, I mean, characters to watch who are intriguing. So here's the main characters to look out for in their development. So, of course, Samantha Morton is Margaret Wells, the main star of the show. The ensemble cast is great. I'm looking forward to getting to know them. Lydia Quigley, Leslie Manville, who's basically seems like she's her rival, at least for now. I mean, that's what it seems like. William North, played by Danny Cipriani, who is Margaret's, the father of her only son, who's, you know, he takes care of the girls. I mean, it looks like, yeah, he's the man of the house, apparently. Lucy Wells, played by Ellery Smith, the younger daughter, who is a piano player, who's educated, who still has some innocence, but wants to make her mother happy. But she still doesn't know if she wants this life or who does she want to be. She's still figuring that out. And I think, ironically, her older sister, Charlotte Wells, played by Jessica Brown Findlay, is in the same situation. Yeah, she's got Sir George Howard in the palm of her hand, but like I said, he's very needy and very immature and very impulsive and reckless. So even if she were to marry him, would that be a marriage that really benefits her? Or would that just bring her down and stop her from being who she truly is? Charlotte is very smart. She's very savvy. She's very business-minded. And I get the feeling that she wants more for her life but doesn't know what that is. Margaret is so caught up in survival mode, just trying to make sure that her girls are working and getting fed, and that she can keep her house until she can get the other house. She's just focusing on survival and just getting money. And I get that. But like I said, at the same time, you got to be careful, because it's good to be ambitious, but you don't want to be too ambitious where you become a sociopath or where you lose your soul, or where there's collateral damage because of your actions, or people that you love get hurt the most because you can't see what you're doing. So what's going to happen in this story? You know, will her brothel survive? Will she be able to relocate? Will she be able to strengthen her position in the community? Can she hold on to her humanity? And can she hold on to her daughter? Can her daughters keep their humanity while being, a prostitute? You know, will they always be that? Will they be more? Is love in their future? Does Margaret even know what love is in regards to what she has with William? You know, the man who lives with her, who has a child by her, who looks after her daughters as his. They call him dad. So it's all very interesting and very exciting. And then there's other prostitutes who aren't happy. You know, will they defect to another side? Will they flip-flop back and forth from different brothels? Will Miss Quigley, who's, you know, the madam, who's the high-class madam, the aristocratic madam, will she get her way? Will she be the only force in town? Will she be able to destroy Margaret, or is she underestimating Margaret? Because when people who come from nothing are hungry and ambitious, they can be very powerful. So, you know, and then, you know, Lydia Quigley's son, Charles, is there more to him, or does he just like being in charge and taking advantage of women because he's in charge? You know, what's going to happen? Like I said, I look forward to seeing the finishing out the season and then catching up and watching season two. But I am intrigued. I didn't know what to think of the show, but I like what I'm seeing so far. And I'm liking, and I'm curious to see how these women interact with these men who are of power, and what these women can do to make sure that they stay on top and don't get taken advantage of or wind up in control. It's a good show, and I'm looking forward to, like I said, finishing out this first season and getting into season two. So Hulu is getting competitive, which is good. You know, the more original programming they have, the better. That's how you stand apart. Because Netflix and Amazon Prime are doing their thing, and so is the UMC channel. That's the newest channel. We'll talk about Bronx SIU after the break.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
And we're back once again. You're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. This is your Captain Keith. And we were just talking about Harlots on Hulu Television. And now we're talking about new TV series called Bronx SIU, which stands for Special Investigative Unit. It's a new series on the UMC channel. And they air a new episode once a week. So it's pretty cool. It stars Brian White as Jimmy and Shanti Lowry as Yolanda. So Jimmy is a police officer in New York with a special unit in the Bronx, and he is like a decorated veteran soldier. He was in Afghanistan and Iraq for six tours. He's got, you know, special ops training. He's a good cop. And Yolanda's his new partner that you meet, and she's very fierce, very bold. And they're both very good at their job. So I've watched like the first two episodes. The new episode might be airing this week, I believe, or next week. So, and it's what's interesting is so the first episode. So let me say this first and foremost. Never got into Law and Order. It was just way too much for me. Just even the music used to bring me down. My biggest problem with Law and Order. Well, I watched it, but I couldn't take to it. My biggest problem with Law and Order was that they were never wrong about the people they were going after. I heard apparently there was one episode where they actually were wrong about something, but yeah, it was just kind of way too dark for me. And then they just branched off and did like four different shows, and I was like, nah, I'm good. Yeah, it's not my thing. But this show I like. It's very interesting. First episode, and good people of the planet Earth and the known universe, I did not plan this, as I laugh and say this. So the first episode, Jimmy, you know, the detective, and Yolanda, they find a dead prostitute. I know we're just talking about prostitutes and harlots, I know. And like her, you know, her throat was slit, and they have to try to figure out, you know, who killed her. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's that episode. And everyone says that this girl was great. She was a nice person, and no one knows why she got murdered. And what's interesting about the show, like I said, you know, Jimmy, played by Brian White, who also, he executive produces this show. And Shanti Lowry, who plays his partner Yolanda, she's a co-producer on the show as well. So once again, it's always great to see actors and actresses taking charge and, you know, in their own projects and having a say-so to an extent on what happens. I think that's really cool. So Jimmy's character is very good. He's very quick. He can be funny. And when you first meet Yolanda, you know, they arrive at the scene and they see the dead body, and you don't really see the body, which is cool. You see his older partner, who's at the scene, and I want to make sure, and he's played by G. Lane Hamilton, and his name on the show is Ethan. So Ethan was at the scene first, and when Yolanda shows up, and she kind of, you know, when she walks on the scene, she directs the foot, you know, the beat policeman on what to do, because they're like, did you get DNA from her fingernails? I need you to do this. I need you to tape up the scene. And by the way, I need two coffees, one for me and one for my partner. And Jimmy just smiles and looks at Ethan. And he's like, hey, man, she's the real deal. She's great. You know, because Yolanda's quick and she knows what she wants. She's a good cop. So, but like I said, Jimmy's this decorated soldier, you know, who's a police officer, and he's one of the best. And because this murder happened, you know, what you find. So Jimmy looks great on paper. And he is. But there's more going on with him. And you find that out. And then you ask yourself, so why is it that his former partner, Ethan, is no longer his partner? He's still on the force, but why isn't he his partner anymore? So what's going on with that? And of course, you, I mean, you will find out. I mean, but that was kind of, because that didn't hit me at first when I was watching the show, because I was just so enthralled with Yolanda, Shanti Lowry's character, and watching her take charge of the crime scene. And, you know, I forgot to ask myself for a second, like, why does he have a new partner? And why is his new partner meeting his old partner? Usually, if you have an old partner, that old partner probably left the force. But Ethan hasn't done that. So what's the backstory on that? You know, you want to ask yourself that. And also, Miguel Nunez Jr. is on this show. And he plays their boss, the chief. And he's great. We've seen, he's been acting for years. Miguel A. Nunez Jr. has been around for a long time. You've seen him in horror movies like Friday the 13th. You've seen him in comedies. And he's funny and he's great as the chief. And he's like the veteran on this show, which is good to see. And it's good to see him working. He looks great. And he could be funny too when he comes in and when he meets with Yolanda and Jimmy. But as I was saying, you know, Jimmy has this backstory. Like I said, he looks good on paper, but there's still something going on with him. And I encourage you to watch the show and find out. We didn't even talk about Yolanda. We see Yolanda talking to a therapist. And all I'm going to say is, you don't know why. I mean, you find out when you watch the show, but initially, you just know she's talking to a therapist. And you're watching the show, and you're like, okay, well, she's got issues. She's trying to work them out. She's being healthy and she's being progressive. That's cool. I can dig it. Yeah, so she's got something that she's dealing with. And while she's a good cop, you know, she's struggling. That's all I'm going to say. And but it makes her character more intriguing and more fast. I mean, just very fascinating. And you can really sink your teeth into her character because she's a great cop. I mean, she's smart. She's focused. You know, when she's on the job, she's just about almost perfect. But it seems like her personal life is just what's kind of falling apart. Oh, no, I will say this about Jimmy. So Jimmy, he's married and his wife, you know, they're trying to work that out. So we don't know if they will. So you have to, you know, so that's interesting. So now the one thing I will say, you never really see a police show with the exception of that one that Tom Selleck has on CBS. It was the Blue Bloods, I think, where the police officers have all these functional marriages and relationships. I mean, I want to see a TV show outside of that one where, you know, these police officers have functional marriages and relationships, male and the female. It's just, it's like a stereotype with the donuts, you know, and that gets addressed too in one of the episodes. The chief, someone brings in donuts, I think it's Jimmy, and the chief is like, you know, donuts is a stereotype, right? Let you know that not all cops like donuts. That was pretty funny. I enjoyed watching that part. So, I mean, that's going on with the show. That, like I said, there's stuff going on with Jimmy that you have to I want you to find out for yourself why he's good on paper, but he might have some issues that he's dealing with. And then, you know, yeah, I'm just going to say that in that regard. But definitely Yolanda's character, like I said, when she sees the therapist, those are really biting and great scenes to watch. And you're asking yourself, so what's wrong with her? Is she on drugs? Is she an alcoholic? So you have to tune in to find out what her thing is, so what she's dealing with. You know, is she bipolar? Well, I mean, what's her deal? You know, why is she so upset? She likes her job, but she seems to be kind of unraveling. And what's that about? You know? And let me see, I believe Jasmine is her therapist, played by Denise Boutte or Boutte. It's B-O-U-T-T-E. I don't know how to pronounce that. She plays the therapist and she does a good job interacting with Yolanda on the show. Now, also what happens, which is really cool, is Amir Baraka, I keep seeing his name in the credits. I'm like, who is Amir Baraka? So there's an officer named Darius who pops up. He's in a different precinct. And the first time you see him, he is going like into a, he's walking into a liquor store. But he walks into the store after he sees his kid who walks in there, tries to steal some candy. He catches the kid, makes the kid turn around and give the stuff back. And then he offers to buy that candy for the kid if the kid will sit down and talk to him. So, and you know, he lets Felix, that's the young kid's name, played by Julian Matthias, does a great job as Felix. You like him. He's a street kid. Darius is like, well, I need to talk to you. You know, I'll get this for you. You know, let's get something to drink too. You like Coke or Pepsi? And, you know, Felix is like, I like Pepsi. And Darius is like, what? That's sugar water, man. He goes, you just don't know, do you? So that was kind of funny. You know, the whole Coke, Pepsi, which one's better? I remember that whole thing. So Felix apologizes and gives the candy back to the store, you know, the store owner or the cashier. Then he goes to sit at a table with Darius, and they just start talking. And Darius gets to open up a little bit, and Darius is like, so, you know, I know you've been working with Kiki. And Kiki's like, let's just say Kiki is this guy who's just not a nice person. We'll talk some more about Bronx SIU after this break.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And once again, we are back. You're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. This is your Captain Keith. And we're talking about the new series, Bronx SIU, Special Investigative Unit, starring Brian White and Shanti Lowry. Make sure I said her name right. Yes, Shanti Lowry. So Darius, this other cop on the other side of town, is talking to Felix in this, you know, at this convenience store, about this guy named Kiki, who's just bad news. You find out Felix is this nice kid who's been kind of on the streets, and he's been running with the wrong crowd. So, of course, if you're any good man, sees a young kid who knows that they're not having the life they're supposed to have, you know, Darius is like, look, you know, you shouldn't be hanging out with him, but I'm not judging you about that. I just need to ask you some questions about an investigation. And, you know, Felix is scared, like, man, if they see me talking to you, I'm done. He goes, so they won't see you then. But he gives Felix his business card and said, look, you should talk to your family. He goes, talk to your family. He's like, if anything happens, if you need help, you need me for anything, just give me a call. So Felix takes his card and he figures out that he likes Darius because Darius, you know, bought him some food to eat and some candy and some... And, you know, he had him try the Pepsi soda, and Felix liked it. So they walk out of the convenience store and go different directions, but then you see some guy following, like, Felix. So what happens, though, is that Darius and that Felix connection winds up tying into another case from the second episode that Jimmy and Yolanda have, where someone else is killed. They have to figure out who killed them and why. So what I will say about this show that I like so far is that, remember how I told you how, like, I didn't like Law and Order because, like, they're never wrong? Well, this show has some great twists and turns that you just don't really see coming. And it's really cool. And the character development is very interesting. Darius, played by Amir Baraka, I liked him a lot. I liked the chemistry he had with Felix. You know, you could tell that this was a police officer who actually cared about this young boy and wants him to be okay. And you just find out that there's a reason why Felix is, like, you know, with the wrong crowd, but he doesn't. You can see that he's a good kid who has the potential to have a good life. And he's not at the crossroads yet, but you can also see that if he keeps hanging with the wrong people, he might really lose his soul. I mean, I get that when I watch it, but I really liked the camaraderie between the two, with Darius befriending him and being like, and not just treating him like somebody. You know, he let Felix know that he was important and that he was a person. You know, because Felix is like maybe, I'm thinking he might be like 11 or 12 on the show. At least he looks like that. And you just, you know, a lot of times when, you know, young people start going with the wrong crowd is because they don't really have family or stability at home, and they're looking for that elsewhere. So, you know, when you say looking for love in all the wrong places, it's just not about romance. So, but it, like I said, you know, Darius and Felix's friendship grows. It gets to a point where he does call Darius. And that, you know, and it's just interesting to see how that plays out. The second episode. Oh, so also, you know, Jimmy questions the suspect, and it was great. You know how there's the good cop, bad cop thing going on. He didn't even waste time with that. He was by himself with the suspect. And let's just say he put the fear of God in them. And I really enjoyed watching that scene. It was just really funny. And it just also amazed me when I was watching this scene with Jimmy interrogating the suspect by himself with no supervision around, how a lot of times these criminals say them, they assume, oh, well, you're a cop. You're a good guy. So you can't be mean. You know, you can't do anything to me. You're not allowed to. I'm like, well, just like all criminals are not the same, all police are not the same. And don't assume anything with anybody, especially if they're on a mission to try to stop someone and that, you know, and try to prevent something from happening or getting worse. You know, there's a sense of urgency, and you get that sense of urgency when you watch this show. The cinematography is dark. It's dark and light at the same time. It's kind of this in between grit when you look at the show. But yeah, I mean, I really like it, and I'm really curious to see what happens with these characters. Like I said, so characters to watch out for. Like I said, Jimmy, the main character, Brian, played by Brian White, Yolanda, played by Shanti Lowry, his new partner. You know, why is she seeing this therapist? What's going on? Why is she so upset about her life, with the exception of her professional career? Ethan, you know, Jimmy's former partner, what's his story? Why is he no longer Jimmy's partner? And Darius, this cop from a different precinct, who's, you know, he just seems to like helping people. And he just seems really sincere. Yeah. And, you know, his friendship with Felix, will Felix and him remain friends, or will Felix go back and hang with the wrong crowd? You know, what's Felix's backstory? And I got a glimpse of it, but I want you to see it for yourself. See where he comes from. And the chief. I look forward to seeing more scenes with Miguel Nunez Jr., their boss, because his job is to keep the mayor off his back and to make sure he solves his crimes as soon as possible. And he makes sure he lets that be known to his star detectives. He's like, you know, I got the mayor calling me, you know, or the commissioner calling me about this case, and they want me to do a press conference. And I'm supposed to do this press conference, but guess what? I have nothing to say because I don't know what's going on. You know, what am I supposed to tell them, Jimmy? You know, Yolanda? And Jimmy's like, I get it. He's like, I get it. I understand, Chief. I got you. You know, here's what we got on it so far. But it's just, the show is intriguing. I like it. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. And it's just interesting to see, you know, if you're a police officer, how do you deal with this every day? How do you deal with, you know, especially when you're in a certain division like this, where you have to deal with people who get murdered? You know, how do you not get affected by that? How do you not take that home with you? So I guess I was talking about how you see all these different police shows or movies where the cop, you know, he or she's divorced or they got problems at home with their loved ones. But I guess what I didn't take into account or to effect is that, you know, how can you not be disturbed or changed or jaded or by what you see every day? I mean, even when you get desensitized from it, that's still like a detachment, and that's not always healthy to be detached by these things that you should have feelings for. I mean, are these police officers who have struggling relationships, is it because they can't compartmentalize the murder and the horror and the ugliness they see every day that they get paid to deal with? I mean, you never really think about that. So the show is intriguing because so far, you know, Jimmy seems to put it in stride. But like I said, you know, he was in Afghanistan and Iran. So his character, and he did like 6 tours. So that's I'm looking on that thinking, you know, that's going to leave some scars. So, and, you know, you go from that to being a police officer. Okay, in one way, I'm like, okay, well, you're decorated. You've done this, so you'd be a perfect fit. But on the other hand, I'm looking at you, on the other side of that coin, I'm looking at you like, no, you got too much going on with all this. You're probably shell-shocked, and you might have some PTSD, and maybe you don't need to even look at a gun. So that's a double-edged sword. That coin can be flipped either way. But right now that coin is flipped on the right side, but will that coin get flipped over? Because like I said, you know, he's got that background and you've been, you know, fighting a war for 6 years. You know, you're going to have some, you know, some damage from that, some emotions. So, but one might also argue, okay, well, yeah, that's one war he fought, but now he's fighting a whole different war in the streets of the Bronx in New York. So, you know, trying to keep peace, trying to bring people to justice who deserve it. So, you know, and then, and trying to, you know, stay in love and maintain your marriage and your relationship. So all that's going to, yeah, that's all fascinating. And then, you know, Darius, like I said, is a police from a different precinct. You know, will he become a part of the special investigative unit, or is he going to stay on his side of town? I get the feeling that, well, so, and then, you know, is he too good to be true? Is he this police officer who might be a lot darker than I think? Or is he like the real deal and, you know, one of the good guys who might make a difference, and he might wind up working with Jimmy and Yolanda and maybe even changing their perspective and giving them some new fresh blood to help reinvigorate what they're doing? I mean, how do you not get dulled? How do your senses not get dull, you know, or your emotions get deadened after seeing body after body and having to try to figure out why this happened? I mean, basically you're not preventing something. You're trying to resolve it and conclude it now. And in some ways, it's kind of depressing. But like I said, the show's interesting because there's different characters that have this backstory. And there's reasons for things that are being done, but they're not all quite clear just yet. And like I said, so with this series, they're showing you one episode a week, you know, which is cool, you know, keep you intrigued and to keep that viewership going. So you can't really binge watch on this until all the episodes have aired. So, and I don't know if there's going to be 10 episodes. It might go up to 8, I'm not sure, for the first season. But right now, like I said, I've only done 2. So it looks like there's going to be 8 episodes for this first season. But I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. I want to know more about Jimmy. I want to know more about why him and Ethan are no longer partners. What's Ethan's backstory? And once again, why is Yolanda seeing a therapist? And will the chief ever have any peace and keep the mayor and the commissioner off his back? And will we see more with Felix? Is he going to be able to break away from Kiki and other people who are a bad element? Will Darius become like a father figure to Felix? I mean, what's going to happen with that? Or will that relationship dissolve? And, you know, I'm curious to see what other homicides. So I'll tell you this much. The first episode, you know, the dead body was a prostitute. The second episode, it was something totally different from that. So it's going to vary, and it's going to be very interesting to see who these people are who get killed. Well, and I guess what the cool thing about this is that you wind up knowing more about these people after they're dead. So you get that backstory, and that's always interesting to watch, and that makes you more invested. And then you're like, oh, you got to find the killer because they got to be brought to justice. But I like this show. I like Bronx SIU, and I'm looking forward to, like I said, finishing out the first season and seeing where everything goes. But yeah, that's on the UMC network, UMC.tv, the Urban Movie Channel. So check that out. And check out Harlots on Hulu. So once again, good people of the planet Earth and the known universe, thank you for listening to Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. You're Captain Keith. Hope you had a good time. I know I did. Next week, I've got a Netflix film for you that I'm going to be talking about, a new one called Extinction, I believe. What's his name? He's an Ant-Man, both Ant-Man movies. He's an excellent actor. I want to make sure I get his name right when I tell you. I believe it's Michael Pena. He also did the Cesar Chavez movie, which I still need to watch. And I'm going to, let's see, Extinction. Yeah, that's the new movie that came out yesterday. It's a Netflix original. Michael Pena and Lizzie Kaplan. She's from True Blood, and she's also from the Masters of Sex Showtime original series. Michael Pena is a great actor. He can do serious. He can do comedy. He can do it all. I'm looking forward to watching this sci-fi film and telling you guys about that film and some other stuff on TV. So we're going to change it up. But once again, thank you for listening to the Golden State Media Concept GSMC Television Podcast. Captain Keith, appreciate you all, and see you somewhere out in space.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.